Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. The Urban Meyer football era at Ohio State ends after the team's Rose Bowl matchup with Washington on January 1st. Meyer cited health issues and his three-game suspension at the beginning of the season for his decision to depart after 7 years as head coach of the Buckeyes. Earlier this week, reporters asked if this is it.
Urban, as you sit here now, do you believe you will not coach again?
I believe I will not coach again.
Are you fairly certain?
Certain, yes.
Coming up, OSU Athletic Director Gene Smith talks to us. Joining us now, Columbus Dispatch sports columnist Rob Aller. Welcome back.
Nice to be here, as always.
And joining us is basketball and football reporter for 11 Warriors, Colin Hass-Hill. Welcome.
Yes, thank you for having me for the first time.
And joining us by phone, Associate Director of SB Nation College Sports, Matt Brown. Welcome back, Matt.
Hi there. Thanks so much for having me again.
A lot of people have said that they saw this decision coming from Meyer. It's been bandied about since last summer. What do you make of it?
Well, at SB Nation, we've written about this a couple of times, I think, over this year as something that certainly seems possible. You know, it seems possible since we've seen plenty of shots on television of Meyer not exactly looking himself. I mean, he's always been an emotional, animated person on the sidelines. This year, maybe that's looked a little bit different. You have obviously everything that happened this summer that might have damaged relationships between himself and the university. And we work with a lot of Florida grads at our outlet, and it's easy to see the similarities between kind of the end of what happened at Florida with Meyer maybe burning himself out a little bit. You can see some of the difficulties with retaining and bringing in new talented assistant coaches, leading to health concerns and things starting to unravel. You could see some similarities between that and maybe what was starting to happen at Ohio State. It's being able to both grow a program and maintain a program are two really different skill sets. And for somebody that admittedly burns himself really hot, maintaining a program is maybe even more difficult. I mean, I don't think Meyer's the kind of guy that's wired to be at one place and maintain for 15 years. And so it's not totally shocking to see this play out the way that it did, at least for us.
Interesting. So kind of comes in, saves the day, and then moves on. Rob Aller, what do you think?
I totally agree with that. The day he arrived, I thought he was a 5 to 7 year guy because of history, because of his personality. He burns himself out. He's very tough on coaches, and he gets the results. I think he's kind of like an artist working in clay, right? He creates these pieces of art and then moves on, I would say.
But did it sustain you guys, say, Florida? I mean, he created this work of art, and when he left, was there something there that was sustainable, Matt?
Well, at Florida, clearly not.
Yeah.
You can kind of see at the end of that year, right? I think some of the student-athletes that he brought on board weren't really great cultural fits for Florida. I mean, you can kind of say that charitably, and that led to some pretty substantial off-the-field issues. That
right.
was the same issue with coaches. I think if we're going to talk about this, though, we also have to include Utah. Another place where Meyer was only a coach for a short time, but he was able to bring in Kyle Whittingham, who has really maintained that level of success. And now you could say, hey, Utah is a Pac-12 program that's sending a lot of kids to the NFL and completely raised that level structurally compared to where it was. So it's not all good or all bad. I would look at his history and say it's a bit of a mixed bag.
Colin, what do you make of this? What are people talking about?
So the sustainability thing is interesting to me because while he may be this intense guy and the ending sort of seems a little abrupt, I think this is absolutely sustainable, what he's put in place, because there's an infrastructure there for the next coach to come in.
Such as
They're keeping all the support staff, the Mark Fantonis, the Brian Voltellinis, all the guys behind the scenes who sort of make everything happen. And if you look at the players, he's recruited very well recently. I think this latest recruiting class has been a little bit difficult for him because he's had this health concern sort of hanging over him. But beyond that, they've had these five stars, these four star prospects coming in, and the coaching staff. He hasn't been perfect on that lately, but there's talent there as well.
Are you talking about Ryan Smith?
Ryan Day.
I mean, when you say he hasn't been perfect on that lately, what do you mean?
I mean that there's a couple hires that I think that he probably shouldn't have made. I think obviously Zach Smith.
I'm sorry.
And then other people have questioned other coaches, Billy Davis and Greg Sidrawa, people who he's known throughout his entire life. Now I think that's not something you have to necessarily worry about though, and foundationally, because Ryan Day gets to have his own new staff.
That's a question. You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. You just heard from Colin Hill. He is a basketball and football reporter for 11 Warriors. Also with us by phone, Matt Brown of SB Nation College Sports. And also with us, Rob Aller, sports columnist for the Columbus Dispatch. We're talking about the Urban Meyer legacy, the Urban Meyer era. He is leaving on January 1st after he wraps up the Rose Bowl game with Washington. If you have a question or comment, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. By the way, we do have OSU Athletic Director Gene Smith joining us at the end of the hour, so stay with us for that. You wrote that you will you'll believe it when you don't see it, in response to Meyer saying he's done coaching. What makes you say that, Rob Aller?
Well, he's 54 years old.
Very young.
Yeah, it's in his blood. Most guys do come back. I mean, there's Bill Cowher, who was the Pittsburgh Steelers, who didn't. He went to broadcast, stayed there, and surprised people. Eric Parsegian, who was the legendary Notre Dame coach, I think retired at 51, went to the broadcast booth, didn't come back. Most other guys try to come back at age 54. Maybe when they get 64, they don't. But I can see him taking a couple years off, healing up, maybe getting a procedure if he decides to go that way for the cyst in his head. They drain that. I just think it's too much. And there was a story in Yahoo.com where Mickey Marotti, the strength coach, he sounded a little, I think we could agree, he sounded a little suspicious that Urban could stay away. I think it comes down to Urban finding something he can really jump into, dive into.
Again,
that's not coaching.
The Pygmalion thing.
Yeah,
if he can mentor other
coaches, mentor student athletes, you know, is that enough for him? I think for a while it will be. I just think the itch will be there, and he has plenty of years to come back. Mack Brown, he was at North Carolina, then he went to Texas. He's now, I believe, 67 and just came out of retirement to coach North Carolina again. So Urban, I'm not saying it's going to happen in a year or two, but I think he will return to coaching at some point.
He doesn't have to do it for the money, Matt Brown, as we've mentioned. He's the highest paid coach in the country. But what is it about coaches that drive them back into the workforce the way it does?
That's a good question, and we see this with ex-athletes as well, right? When you're involved in this world, it's highly regimented. You know you're going to be at that office 14 hours a day.
Kind of like the military, right? Yeah.
It's similar in that obviously the stakes way lower. And if you're a really competitive person and you've been in this world since your early 20s, it's a really big culture shift to leave. And the same thing happens with players. Some of them get into business or real estate, or some of them immediately try to get back into the sport, and others really are lost because they're not sure suddenly what to do with all that unregimented time or how to channel that competitiveness in. I'd be a little surprised if Meyer comes back, just because I don't think there are many caliber of jobs outside of Notre Dame that would interest him. But it's certainly possible. I mean, I would be shocked if he isn't involved some way within the sport itself, maybe beyond just administration at Ohio State.
Colin, what makes a caliber of job that would be fit for the likes of Urban Meyer?
I mean, I think there's just a couple in the country.
What kind of X factor are we talking about? Because,
well, if you've coached at Florida and you've coached at Ohio State and you've taken those programs to heights that they haven't seen in years and maybe ever, then you're not just going to take any job. And Ohio State was his dream job, and he leaves Ohio State. What's next? I'm not really sure what that option is. And down the road, like Rob said, I don't think he's going to take another job in the near future at all. In the future, 5-10 years, I have no idea what he'll do. But what would that next step be? I'm not really sure. I'm not really sure what that other school would be that he would go to. But there's only a couple of those jobs in the country
that have that X factor.
Yes.
What about him hanging around, Rob Aller? He wasn't fired, so...
No, he's the first coach to leave on his, quote, own terms since, I believe, Paul Brown, who left to eventually start the Cleveland Browns. I think he is going to be, according to Gene Smith, which we'll find out later, I guess, Urban's going to be around. He's going to be a resource, both for Ryan Day and within the facility, potentially. I mean, I'll be curious to see if he has an office in the Woody Hayes complex.
Like his predecessors have done.
Yeah, they had sort of a ceremonial deal there. Yeah. I don't see Urban being sort of a ceremonial, you know, former coach, just kind of sitting there knitting and, you know, playing checkers. He's going to be involved, and that dynamic will be very interesting to see how it works with Ryan Day, a coach looking over your shoulder who's also a resource. How does that work? That'll be curious.
Sometimes CEOs, when they retire, they're put on the board of directors, that kind of a thing. But everybody always wonders what's it like to have the CEO, you know, the ex-CEO breathing down the new one's neck. Matt Brown, what do you think?
Yeah, actually, this is a dynamic that causes some problems in some places. I mean, the one that jumped off, turned off the page to me would be at Wisconsin, where Barry Alvarez helped, you know, build that program from the dregs of nothing into a perennial contender. He leaves to become the athletic director, and then he's very much in that football office. And there have been other coaches, you know, Gary Anderson, most notably, who chased at that. You know, you feel like you're not exactly in charge, if you know, at the face of the program and the most popular guy in, you know, the last 4 years is just down the hall. This has been a thing at Georgetown with their basketball program too. I agree with everyone here. Urban isn't exactly the kind of guy that's just going to sit there and sign a couple of pictures at the alumni club. If he's going to be in the building, he's going to want to be in the building,
and everybody's going to want to see him too, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're absolutely right. So it takes a special kind of coach and a special kind of administrator to set those boundaries and to make that relationship work. I'm not exactly sure what that's going to look like or how it will be at Ohio State for the next couple of years, but it will certainly be a storyline.
I just figure if he's on the sidelines anywhere, the cameras are going to be trained on him. What do you think, Colin?
I think in due time immediately that will happen. In due time, I don't think it'll be as much, just like any other coach.
Depending on how long he hangs around.
Absolutely, absolutely. The one thing that I think is interesting that I think a lot of people view as a positive, I view it as a positive right now, but I think could be viewed as a negative in due time, depending on how it goes, is those support staffers are staying. The guys that
For now.
But it doesn't seem like it's a for now. It seems like they're going to be Ryan Day's support staffers, his behind-the-scenes guys.
But that's not the team Ryan Day built, Rob Aller. I mean, ultimately, it isn't. I'm sure, from what I've heard, he gets along with everybody, and he's a well-liked and well-respected guy. But
there's a little bit of risk here. This could work swimmingly. This could go great. And I think keeping these guys in place, I'm with Colin, the short term is probably smart.
Yeah.
Where's their allegiance ultimately? If things start to go sideways a little bit, do they run to Urban and say, you won't believe what Ryan did today? That's just kind of a human nature.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that it will happen, but there's the potential. It's kind of a unique situation that could get sticky. But short term, again, I think it's smart for recruiting and for all those reasons.
And, you know, Matt Brown, obviously Ryan Day has connections all over the country. He's been, you know, some places have tried to recruit him. He's known and he knows people all over the place in the business. But he hasn't been out there that long. I mean, how would he build a team anyways at this point?
You know, that's going to be a really interesting question, too. And I wrote about this for SB Nation recently. One of the things that's really interesting to me is how his background is pretty un-Buckeye-like compared to a lot of the other people that end up taking this job, right?
Yeah.
He's not an Ohioan. He's from New Hampshire, which is, you know, where college football is really as big of a deal. And his coaching experience is primarily within the Northeast and with the NFL, which isn't to say that it can't be successful. His reputation within coaching circles is pristine. Everyone thinks this guy's a genius, like Lincoln Riley. But you don't have that same 25 years of experience of you know, hanging out with the guys at Massillon and St. X and St. Ignatius and then building these deep kind of cultural connections. So he's going to have to hit the high school rubber chicken circuit equivalent, you know, pretty hard and make sure that he's bringing in a lot of assistant coaches with credibility. Now, at a place like Ohio State, you have a pretty wide margin of error because the floor at that program is so high. Mm. It's not like he's going off to, you know, to Bowling Green or to Akron, where if you make one little mistake, you could really fall off a cliff. But there's people expecting, I think, an exact continuation of what Urban Meyer was able to do, especially on the recruiting trail. I don't think that's realistic. Hmm.
We are going to continue our conversation about the departure of Ohio State head football coach Urban Meyer on January 1st at the conclusion of the Rose Bowl game matchup with Washington. You just heard from Matt Brown. He's associate director of SB Nation College Sports. Also with us, Colin Hass-Hill. He's a basketball and football reporter for 11 Warriors. And Rob Aller, sports columnist for the Columbus Dispatch. Questions, comments, what do you think? 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. We'll be right back. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. Welcome back to All Sides. I'm your host, Ann Fisher. The Urban Meyer football era at Ohio State ends at the conclusion of the Rose Bowl game on January 1st. Meyer cited chronic headaches as the main reason for his departure, but he also pointed to his three-game suspension at the start of the season for his failure to properly monitor and report assistant coach Zach Smith over allegations of domestic violence.
That was a very difficult time. This has been, I've had to deal with headaches for many years, and it came to a head in 2014 and then again last year and then this year as well. So as a difficult time that was, that didn't have an impact as much on the headaches, but it did have an impact.
Kind of created a little bit of a headache. We're talking about the Urban Meyer era at Ohio State. OSU Athletic Director Gene Smith will join us coming up later in the program. Still with us, Columbus Dispatch sports columnist Rob Aller, basketball and football reporter for 11 Warriors, Colin Hass-Hill, and associate director of SB Nation College Sports by phone, Matt Brown. If you have a question or comment, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. I wanted to talk a little bit about something you said at the end of the last segment, Matt Brown, about, you know, which has been said other times. I keep hearing this genius reference to Ryan Day. And, you know, how do you know how smart he is or what his capabilities really are? He's never been a head coach. He's only 39 years old. He's like, I could practically have given birth to this guy. I mean, what do we know about him, Matt Brown?
That's a good question. On some level, you never really can know, because being a successful head coach requires so much more than just being a really good, you know, whiteboard guy, right? Mm-hmm. You have to be a great program manager. You have to be able to have to deal with so many different constituencies. You probably have to be a little bit of a shrink. You know, what I can't, you know, testify on, you know, with 100% certainty that he's going to be successful. But I know that when we talk to other coaches or other athletic administrators, you know, the praise coming for him is continuous. So this is somebody who, you know, learned from Chip Kelly, who was one of the most, you know, dynamic and innovative offensive minds. He came in a very difficult situation as an interim coach and destroyed three teams in a row. He has the respect here of his peers. Can he promise that he'll be successful? But that's also true if you bring in, you know, Campbell, or if you bring in somebody else who has a lot of head coaching experience. You know that there's going to be an opportunity to be successful. You know he's bright. You hope that the other stuff can get figured out.
You know, to grab a phrase from the late George Herbert Walker Bush, does he have the vision thing, Rob Aller?
Well, that's the great question, right? Does he have the right stuff? Again, the step up from, say, offensive coordinator or quarterback's coach mm-hmm. to CEO to head coach, you never know. There is a risk. You're rolling the dice. I would say that what you hear, he has the intangibles. He's great leadership. He's great recruiting. How does he handle being tough? I mean, the reason Urban Meyer's so successful is he aligns the staff to his vision. He's tough on guys. He ground his coaches into dust into diamonds, however you want to look at it. Does Ryan Day is this going to be a Big 12 team where it's incredible offensively and defensively? It's good, but maybe it doesn't have that bite that some other teams have had. We don't know. Mm-hmm. That's the thing. There is a difference between replacing a coach, a head coach, and replacing Urban Meyer. Urban Meyer is an elite coach whose his success is incredible.
There's only one.
There may be a couple. A guy named Nick Saban's pretty good too.
Well, I mean, you're right. I mean, right. Colin?
Yeah, I mean, the interesting thing is that we have three games of evidence, and it was Urban Meyer's program.
Right.
So now this is Ryan Day's program, and while he's going to coach the same team with the same support staff with probably a relatively similar coaching staff, it's now his program, and when things get tough, like it did in the Penn State game, can he come through and can he win? When they go through tough times, can he get them through that? And that's the stuff that we don't know, and we won't know until they actually go through that.
Let's see. Brad in Columbus, you're on the air. Hi, Brad.
Oh, hi. Concerning the suspension situation with Urban, I have a really good friend in Utah whose license plate says Go Bucks. So he's obsessed with OSU. He thinks that Urban was railroaded and not backed by the university, and he thinks that not one but two coaches' lives were ruined because of the false accusations versus Zach Smith. So were there charges filed versus Zach, and was there anything proven about that? And what percentage of all these issues, health issues, et cetera, that Urban's had have been the cause of his leaving?
All right. That's a lot, but Rob Aller?
Well, this is what I would say. I think that all that, and even Urban said, that the off-the-field issues contributed. They were a contributing factor to him leaving. I would say in terms of the accusations, to set the domestic violence aside for just a second, as important as that is, and I think that the way that Urban handled or mishandled Zach Smith when it came. Now, you could say he didn't know. Should he have known? That's the real nut of the issue here is how much is a coach responsible to know what his assistants are doing, even in their personal lives? Well, Urban, on record, has said it is his. Everything's under his control. Everything's under his purview. So Zach Smith had some issues with just, was he a good enough coach? He was a really good recruiter. Was he a good enough coach
to be there anyway?
Right. He had credit card issues. He had the strip club issue. There were other issues that have added up. So even if you remove the domestic violence, which got all the news and nationally, I just think that the university probably saw enough there that maybe three games was a bit much if you remove the domestic violence. But they saw some things there that just he should have had better control.
Hmm. And going off of that, I think that I agree with a lot of what Rob said. The domestic violence stuff is obviously very tough because there's so much stuff that goes into it, and it's such a complicated situation. I don't think that we have all the answers. And
but there's enough other fodder out there.
There is a lot of other stuff out there, and Urban Meyer should have done more at the time. I think it's looking back at that report, it's hard to say otherwise, to be honest.
Yeah.
And that will certainly hang over him.
Yeah, it's what hung over Penn State, with the Jerry Sandusky issue. Matt Brown, things are changing on that score, right?
I think so. I think it's important for us to talk about this when we're talking about the legacy of Urban Meyer, because just like every other highly successful coach throughout college football history, most of them aren't saints. Most people who achieve excellence on this level in other industries have pretty complicated legacies. I totally agree with my two esteemed colleagues here. There's enough in that report that, in my opinion, you could have justified straight up firing Urban Meyer. For somebody who is as famously compulsively obsessed with details, who's tracking the amount of seconds it takes for Michigan to punt and gets that down to the tenth of the second, to not know that you have an assistant coach who's like blowing off recruiting meetings and is famously having some addiction issues and everything, like, that speaks to being able to have control over your program, and that was part of the problem that was at Florida. And when we talk about Meyer, we have to talk about, hey, this is somebody who had enormous success, who did a lot of really good things for a lot of students and a lot of families and was a good advocate for them in Columbus and who improved a lot of the mistakes that he had in Florida. But also everything at Florida happened. There were people who should have never been on a college campus that he recruited and brought to that campus. And there's a situation here where he let somebody who probably should not have been in a mentoring role over young men stick around on campus for a while. We have to take the good and the bad when talking about it.
Flat up fire. Colin?
I mean, you can make the case for that. It's a really tough thing. Like, what is the punishment for these types of things, these legal actions? What should someone have done? What should they have done? It's tough. Like, you can justify that, absolutely. I think that it's he should have done more with Zach Smith, and that's the thing. The punishment thing is really, really difficult because I can understand justifications for a lot of the punishments. He should have done more. He should have known more. He should have said more. At Big Ten Media Day, he should have said what he actually knew or what he didn't know. And he should have been clear about that, and he wasn't. And he made these just slip-ups along the way. Now, the interesting thing to me is that before this had come about, like during the summer, I remember Bruce Feldman coming to Ohio State and doing a piece about Urban Meyer and this guy who's really concerned about all these things and the student athletes and what they're looking at right now. And he had rehabilitated his image after the Florida situation in a way that was pretty impressive. And he hadn't seemed to have any missteps or he had had some, but it was very few and far between. And this sort of came out of nowhere and it took him right back down.
Hmm. Yeah, speaking of that, I mean, if you want to talk legacy, I think you've got to look at it from two different viewpoints. I think Buckeye Nation and locally, elite coach, won a national championship. I think the off-the-field stuff will be sort of glossed over, and that won't be what he's remembered for. Mm-hmm. I think people, you'll always kind of think about, well, the headaches and his health. I think now the health has almost trumped some of the off-the-field stuff. That's what will be a legacy. He was forced to, you know, leave because he didn't feel good. Nationally, a little bit different story. I think it's going to hang on him a little more because of Florida. I mean, I don't think this is not going to be a single event that people look at. Collins talked about
it. How many years was he there?
Six. Okay. 6 years, and it kind of fell apart. Not kind of. It fell apart at the end. So I think that will be lumped in. And even though these are two different situations with his health, they're similar enough that I think you can say, well, you know, this has happened before. There's a little precedent. He's walking away again for health reasons. Before it was a little more mental health, I think. Now it's physical health with some mental health thrown in. So I think nationally it's going to be, who is this Urban Meyer guy? Elite coach, but he's got some issues. You know, he's got some personal issues that, you know, that maybe when you look at a Nick Saban or a Dabo Swinney have not come out. Maybe I'm sure everyone has issues, right?
Basically a different generation, though, aren't they?
Not really. I mean, Dabo's younger than Urban,
that,
but and Nick Saban's older. But I think nationally, for whatever reason, and let's put it this way, Urban also is not does not come off warm and fuzzy.
Wondered about that. I mean,
so that hurts him nationally.
He's never agreed to come on my show, but I don't like to.
Well, he's a hardcore football coach. Yeah. I've always said in some ways he's the modern Woody Hayes. Obviously, you can't get away with the things Woody did, but you know, he's football. He's off the Earl Bruce tree, and I think he's again a modern Earl Bruce. He's exceeded maybe what both those guys have done in some ways. But I just think legacy nationally is definitely going to be more of a negative than it is locally.
Yeah, Matt Brown?
Yeah, I agree. It's interesting. I mean, that's the perspective I think I would have. I grew up in Licking County, but I'm in Chicago. I work for a national outlet, and I think our coverage would be different than it would be if we were in Columbus. It's also going to be interesting to see how history kind of changes how you see some of these things, right? Like when Jim Tressel immediately left, you know, and it might have been easier to say, well, this was more of a mixed tenure. He's leaving in scandal and disgrace. And when I look back at this now, I think the conversation around paying athletes has changed, and now having a resigning in disgrace over a scandal about tattoos seems almost hilariously quaint.
Exactly. Charming.
It might only have one or two columnists in a personal beef with him to say that, you know, he did this terrible thing. If we look back at Woody Hayes and we tried to dissect him in the 80s, I think we'd have a different perspective if you look back at it now, not just for literally punching a player on television, mm-hmm. but maybe some of his coaching tactics or some of his less enlightened viewpoints don't look as good in 2018 as they might have earlier. And that's probably how we're going to be with Meyer, and that's how we are with a lot of our heroes.
You know, you guys can mention a couple coaches that stand above the crowd that haven't had these kind of problems, but this big-time college sports dynamic that we're in now, we're talking just billions of dollars. It's ridiculous. Is the pressure going to ultimately change the essence of our conversations about these things, Matt Brown, going forward? I mean, it's all changing now. It's not about the game.
And it hasn't been for a while.
Yeah.
I think it should. Like, you know, if you look at the history of the sport, right, there's this myth, I think, of the, you know, the father figure, you know, coach who wins a bunch of games, teaches his players calculus and how to, you know, be a good husband and do all these other things. And, you know, I don't think that that's been the norm since, like, Bobby Dodd, because this has become such an enormous business. And ultimately, you can have a great APR score and you can, you know, graduate Rhodes Scholars and people who are at heads of their Kiwanis clubs, and if you don't beat Michigan, you're going to be fired.
Yeah.
So, you know, what he did as a football coach in terms of, like, those accomplishments, that's nearly unsurpassed. And that's ultimately how coaches are evaluated by their bosses and by their communities, even though we might like to give lip service to other things are important. And as long as this sport becomes such as big of a business that it is, which it is a business, mm-hmm. that's how it's going to be. And maybe we should kind of reexamine, you know, big picture nationally, that myth of what a coach should be or is, in my opinion.
Yeah. Colin Hassel, I'll give you the last word on this moving around. I mean, it's like the trap is set no matter who takes over.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to be evaluated that way, whether
it's
they
pressure.
Should or shouldn't. And that's just going to be the case. The interesting thing to me is Ryan Day is going to step into this job, and he's never been a head coach before. And to me, you can't really have that be the expectation. You can't look at Ryan Day and be, well, he's a first-year head coach, so we're going to give him a year or two to get that.
One has a year or two to spare,
yeah,
right?
And he's following an all-time great, and that's the level that he's going to be expected to be at. And I don't envy that, but he has to be in that position. He's following a guy who never lost to Michigan. So when he loses to Michigan, and if he's around long enough, I assume he probably will at some point, what will that reaction be?
Hey, it looks like I have a little bit more time, Rob Aller.
I was just going to say, what's the old line? You don't want to follow the legend. You want to follow the guy that follows the legend.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Ryan Day he's got big shoes to fill. He really does. You know, wish him success, because uh-huh. you know, everybody thinks that's a great job, and it is. You get paid a lot of money. But he even said that, you know, the other night he and his wife, was it Nicole? Is that
Nina.
Right? Nina. Their life changed, like, in a snap of a finger. It's just different. It's like becoming a superstar, a celebrity.
Right.
It's a lot to handle, especially, and I think that's the piece, not being a head coach before. You don't really know what you're getting into, and you can't learn on the fly, and he's going to have to.
Do we have anything to compare this to, Matt Brown?
The one that people are bringing up right now is the Bob Stoops Lincoln Riley transition at Oklahoma.
Okay.
You have a guy who's been there for a long time, the most successful in several years, and he unexpectedly retires and hands the reins over to a really young guy. I think Lincoln Riley's younger than Day. And that transition has gone really very well. You've been able to retain a lot of the things that made Oklahoma successful, recruited a high level, and you know, elevate things a little bit. And maybe that's given Ohio State a greater comfort level with knowing, hey, we think we have our successor, we don't need to open things up. So, you know, if it goes about that well, excellent. A lot of other things could happen too.
As far as players go, what are they thinking about? I want to play for Urban Meyer, or I want to play for Ohio State, or a little bit of both? Colin?
Well, I think the interesting thing is the offensive players know Ryan Day very well. I think that he and Gene Smith said as much in the press conference. He said that the offensive players really like Ryan Day. I don't think that that's necessarily going to be that difficult of a thing for him. And Ryan Day also coached quarterbacks. So the quarterback's supposedly the leader on the team.
Yeah.
Quarterbacks like him. So that's a positive. Now the defense, that's where the questions really are. Do those people know Ryan Day? Are they going to like him as much? Now Urban Meyer was an offensive guy.
Right.
So if Ryan Day keeps some defensive coaches, I'm sure that'll ease the transition at least a little bit. But I'm going to watch the defense.
Mm-hmm. I would agree with that. I think, again, we talked before, Ohio State doesn't want to become a Big 12 team. Where's this defense going to go? Is he going to bring in the tough guy or keep Greg Schiano, who can, you know, really bring that defense along? Are they going to get the defensive recruits that they need? Well, their history's there. Let's not forget, this is a place that recruits itself to a certain extent, put a lot of defensive players right. recently into the NFL. That's what speaks to high school recruits. I'm going to play in the league, and if guys who played defense at Ohio State are now doing it in the NFL well, you can use that to recruit.
And one more question, Rob Aller, before I let you go. Anybody overlooked in this process? Are there going to be any sour grapes out there? Other people maybe working their way up the food chain?
Well, I mean, the one guy who, you know, Greg Schiano was the defensive coordinator. He did not get the job at Tennessee. He thought he might have that job. There's probably some NFL teams that maybe were looking at him. He got passed over, even though I don't think that's the way they would put it. Mm-hmm. Ryan Day became the interim coach those three games when Urban Meyer was suspended.
It could have been him.
Greg Schiano, he said the right things. But, you know, this is a guy that in some ways might be thinking, you know, when he's alone, this could have or should have been me, not Ryan Day. I'm not saying he thought that way, but as a human, those kind of thoughts cross your mind. So mm-hmm. Where does Greg Schiano end up here? Does he stay on the staff? He came under some fire this year. The defense was very inconsistent or consistently average, mm-hmm. if you want to put it that way. Where does he end up? I'm not saying he was overlooked, but I think he's a guy that's in limbo right now, at least one of the guys.
Okay. Rob Aller, sports columnist for the Columbus Dispatch, thanks so much for your time today.
You're welcome.
Also, Colin Hass-Hill, your basketball and football reporter for 11 Warriors, thanks to you as well.
Thanks to you.
And Matt Brown by phone, associate director of SB Nation College Sports, thanks for your time today.
You bet. It's been a pleasure.
Coming up, we're going to hear from Ohio State's athletic director, Gene Smith. So stay with us. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. Welcome back to All Sides. I'm your host, Ann Fisher. Today we're talking about Urban Meyer's decision to step away from football and the impact his decision will have on the Ohio State University program. Joining us now, OSU Athletic Director Gene Smith. Welcome back.
Good to be back, Ann. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Good.
How are you?
I'm doing great.
Yeah?
Yeah.
There's a lot. I mean, you know, people, this is like, I'm trying to think of what it's like. Someone mentioned superstar earlier. It's like the changing of the guard
sure.
of a very, very important institution.
Right.
Buckeye football. It's a big, big deal.
Yep.
You said Urban Meyer left OSU better than he found it. How so?
True. You know, I think obviously we can talk about the wins and losses. Significant. No coach has really achieved what he achieved. And but really the things that he did for young people off the field. The character of the young people that we recruit, the performance they have in the classroom, how they represent our institution, improved significantly. He had a great platform because Jim Tressel had an upward trajectory prior to his departure. So Urban was able to take advantage of that and add his assets to that and help us off the field. So helping our young men find jobs, which I'm very passionate about. We talk about recruitment to career, not recruitment to graduation. That's taken for granted. You're going to get that done. But it's about recruitment to career, and that's what we're all about. And he's done an excellent job in that.
We can ask the question a million times. You know, I ask it of all kinds of sports reporters now if they knew this was coming or if they caught off guard. And a lot of them have said, well, they thought maybe in 2019. Mm-hmm. And I think Bill Rabinowitz in the Columbus Dispatch speculated that Urban Meyer did want to do another year and mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. you didn't want him to do another year.
Well, that's not really true.
What happened?
Well, actually, there was a speculation from Football Scoop. that he would go another year and Ryan Day would be promoted to head coach, and mm-hmm. that it was a done deal. And that's actually what he reported, and that's not really true. But it was Urban's decision 100%. It had nothing to do with my desire. In fact, I tried to convince him to stay last Friday. But it was really his health, you know, his health and the toll that this job takes on a person. It's hard for me to really help people understand.
I can't even imagine
it. You know, you think about your job and that you do, and you have to do it in front of 106,000 people every Saturday and be evaluated in 4 hours by the scrutiny of the media, and then mm-hmm. 1 million-plus people watching you on television, actually 6 to 8 million people watching you on television. Your job performance is being evaluated by the unbelievable breadth of different opinions, and people offer those opinions on today's platforms. You know, it's not like the old school journalism.
Right. It's the same. It's the same with everything nowadays.
Right.
But some people last longer than others.
Exactly.
His experience, he was 6 years at Florida, mm-hmm. 7 years here at Ohio mm-hmm. State.
Mm-hmm. Longest tenure was here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you consider those long tenures, though?
For him.
For him.
He's a very
okay.
intense coach. You know, he's intense every single day. And you know, I don't want to downplay because I don't understand. I don't know unless you have a cyst or you're in the medical industry and understand what a cyst in someone's brain means.
Mm-hmm.
I can't relate to it because I don't have that experience. Mm-hmm. So listening to him and watching him for weeks on end as he went through that experience, particularly after the October 6th Indiana game when he went to one knee.
Mm-hmm.
And every Sunday I met with him and watched him as he tried to come up with a management plan for those headaches. And it took its toll. And plus he had the responsibility to still go out and win ball games every Saturday. So it was a deep feeling for him and his family as I watched him go through that.
How would it have changed the dynamic and the decisions of how you handled this if you didn't have a Ryan Day
mm-hmm.
waiting in the wings?
Yeah, so over the last month, really, when Urban and I first started talking about this on Sundays, you know, I kind of knew that it might happen based upon my conversations with him. So I began my process of looking at candidates across the country.
Back last summer?
No. Over the last month.
Over the last month.
Yeah,
okay,
month.
Sorry.
So I went and spent time looking at different candidates at different institutions and then, you know, doing my pros and cons list compared to Ryan Day. And at the end, I just kept coming back to Ryan Day. High IQ, high EQ. Our program doesn't need blown up. It doesn't need disruption. The infrastructure is sound. So we need a good coach, a good leader. And in him, we have that. And so if I had to go out on a search, it would have taken me probably 4 or 5 days. I think, you know, people know now.
You already know who's out there.
Yeah, I know who's out there. It's going to be a quick yes or no and go. And so I would have gone pretty swiftly.
What about the idea? Well, let's talk about whether or not and under what circumstances Urban Meyer would stay at Ohio State in some capacity.
Mm-hmm.
What are you thinking about?
Yeah, he first of all, contractually, we're right. obligated to do that. But even without that, I'd still do it because he has skills and assets that will help our student athletes and our coaches in particular and help our department in an external way, in our institution in an external way. So we have a draft a job description, and he and I will sit down and talk about that more after the Rose Bowl. But it'd be external relations, dealing
okay.
with donors, speaking engagements, golf outings, things of that nature. Coaching the coaches. It's a big piece for us. We have 68 assistant coaches. Many of them aspire to be head coaches. For him to be embedded in our assistant coach professional development program that we have would be invaluable to those young coaches who aspire to be head coaches, to work with him, to understand what it means, and then to work with our head coaches as they
recruit. You mean
recruit.
In other disciplines?
In all other sports.
Gotcha.
Soccer, volleyball, tennis, track, whatever. We mm-hmm. have 68 assistant coaches mm-hmm. across the 36 sports we have. That's excluding the football coaches. And so for him to work with those coaches, we have a professional development program already for mm-hmm. those young coaches where we're trying to train them to become head coaches. And so he would be embedded in that. He'd work with our current coaches, you know, to help them in recruiting, to help them in strategizing on how they develop their program. Help us with our student athlete development programs. He has real life Wednesdays for football, but you know, basketball has off the court, and swimming has off of the pool deck, and there's a lot of different programs, so he'd work with that. So there's a number, there's a kind of a buffet of different things that he would do.
But what about the dynamic of having the former CEO hanging around while the new one's trying to get on their feet?
Well, you know, those
I'm not sure I'd want Urban Meyer breathing down my neck.
Well, maybe you wouldn't, but it's all about people.
It's all about Ryan Day.
It's all about people.
Okay.
I mean, if you check your ego, and that's the challenge in those situations. If you have an ego in this business, you're not going to be as successful.
Wait a minute.
We are.
I mean, there's a lot of head coaches out there that have gigantic egos.
And then you evaluate them over time.
Okay.
Okay, you evaluate people over the long history of time, the total body of work, and how they work with other people. This is all about people's relationships. So me, Urban, Ryan Day, we're joined at the hip. We have personalities where we check our egos and do what's right for our student athletes in Buckeye Nation. So Urban understands that the football program, January 3rd, is Ryan Day's, period. He makes all the personnel decisions, all the strategy decisions. Now, if Ryan decides, you know what, I need some advice.
Uh-huh.
I got an iconic, successful football coach. Right. I'm going to go get some advice on this particular piece. He has access to him. Urban understands that very clearly, that he doesn't jump in that space unless asked. And so I'm a pretty strong leader in that regard. Mm-hmm. And I've been very firm about that from the beginning and will continue to be that.
A quick call from Dennis in Zanesville. You're on the air, Dennis. Hi.
I just wanted to know, did Dr. Drake have any part in this decision, or is it a situation where Urban tells Gene Smith his decision, and then Gene Smith tells Dr. Drake?
Thanks for that. That's OSU President Michael Drake.
Thanks, Dennis. I'll answer that question. I made a recommendation to President Drake and actually met with him about 3 weeks ago. And our human race resources director, Susan Bassel, and said, hey, look, this might be coming. And this is my plan, and this is my recommendation. And he was highly supportive. It was my call, and he provided me that opportunity to make that decision from a leadership point of view, and he was very supportive.
What about Ryan Day? What sort of – he's young. He's untested as a head coach. He's considered brilliant, genius, has been bandied about, but – organizationally, this will be a first for him. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
How do you sustain him through the
Great
pressure
question,
that's going to build up over the next
Great
year?
Great question, Ann. And that is a big responsibility of mine to help him with that. That's why I meet with our coaches, football coaches, every Sunday. It's a habit. Jim Tressel, Urban Meyer. That day is so critical when I help them through what they went through on Saturday. Win or loss is so important. But Ryan would be the same way. You know, I'm accessible to him constantly and work with him on that and make sure he has an advisor where he has balance in his life. So important. But Ryan is tested. That's what most people don't understand. You know, he was our offensive coordinator all season long. Mm-hmm. He called the plays. And when we were in tough situations because we may not have performed defensively, he had that burden to outscore our opponent. And so he had to come up with the strategies that were put in place against Northwestern to come back against that defense and win. And so he understands the pressure. The other thing was, you know, as tough as it was, he did have an audition.
Mm-hmm.
And those three games, I didn't watch the win. I wasn't paying attention to the performance on the field. He was masterful in how he dealt with everything else. He was responsible for the 70 people in the Woody Hayes Center during those trials and tribulations, and he handled it masterfully. In certain chaos situations like that, people can become fragmented. They can become selfish. He held it together, and people tend to forget about that. He did have that experience for 4 weeks. And so at a high, high level with great scrutiny from every media person that paid attention, I think he handled it well. So he had his, you know, he had dipped his toe in the water. Mm-hmm. And I feel very confident that with his intelligence on both sides, his IQ and EQ, I think he's going to be strong for us.
Gene Smith, thanks so much for joining us today.
No problem, man. Good to see you again. You take care.
You too. Gene Smith, Ohio State Athletic Director. We've been talking about Urban Meyer this hour and the legacy he leaves behind as he departs on January 1st after the Rose Bowl game. Thanks for listening. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.